Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the Within Sights Radio Network with your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Mattini, Katie Singeneagle. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, listen to some of the coolest hosts on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now, on to the show. Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom with Iggy Garcia, Mark Mattini, and Katie Singeneagle. Good morning, people. How are you?
Hello. Doing fine.
With Mark rushing in into the house, sliding down my driveway, probably. Don yelling at him, and Bella barking at him. Katie always gets here just a little bit earlier, just to make sure she gets her seat.
Sometimes I'm rushing in.
Trying to do too many big projects right now, so I'm like...
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
just constant, like...
Busy.
Yeah.
Well, that's, sometimes you gotta be that way, you know?
Yeah. I try to set these stupid... Because I'm... Part of me is still, you know, 8 years old. So I set these stupid time restraints on myself, like...
Oh, okay.
You know, to kind of make sure that I'm hustling constantly. So
getting
like,
things done.
You gotta get these three things done before you leave. You gotta get... And then it's like... okay, that was a little too big of a thing to get three things done in 11 when I got to leave.
I had set my clock to get up early, but then I was I had insomnia last night, so I didn't get to sleep till about 1:30.
No, I crashed hard last night. I actually got up before my alarm this morning.
I slept really deep, and I had really...
I did, too.
Really, a lot of dreams.
When I got to sleep, I had some dreams.
Oh,
maybe
my God.
It was a full moon.
Is it a full moon last night?
Tonight. It's tonight.
It's tonight, but tonight, yeah.
But it was
yeah.
a good moon last
yeah.
night. Almost
yeah.
full.
So it was building. So it's exact at like 6:05 this evening.
And I had a dream that I was at the restaurant, and the restaurant was packed with people at the drum circle. Some people were just standing and watching, and then there was these guys by the big drum, and they wouldn't let me play it. And then finally, when I got to play it, they only gave me one stick. And when I hit the drum, it sounded like a dud, like brr, like I couldn't get a sound on it, you know. I was trying to find sound. I was like, what's wrong with my drum? You know, it was really weird. And then everybody was in white t-shirts and blue jeans, so I don't know what that was about, but then there was this Native American guy just shows up. He's like right in my face. He's like, hi. He's just like, hi. And he starts to sing, and these other Native American girls came around him, and they all started singing this song. And he's like, ah, but it was in English, so I have to really go back and meditate and take the words down and write them down. And then I run to the bar, and the bar was packed, and my dad's busy. My dad's like overwhelmed. I'm helping him. And then I see all my friends on Facebook, like the ones that I usually hang out with, and they're all there on the talking to me. I'm like, what are you guys doing here? I'm like, it was really a weird dream.
Yeah, there's a lot of Pisces Neptune rules dream activity. So there is a massive amount of Pisces energy right now, especially
mm-hmm.
on Sunday, Venus and Neptune were conjunct in Pisces, and also Mars and Chiron were conjunct higher up in Pisces. So there's a tremendous amount of Pisces energy out there right now. So that really leads to, this is kind of where we're at right now, is we're kind of in a period that is good for working on yourself and getting your inner messages clear,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of retrogrades, and there's a lot of Pisces energy, and so we've got, as we move out later next week, late in the week, Mercury goes direct, and then on the 19th Mars goes from Pisces to Aries, which will be a tremendous shift in energy level for people. So right now, the next 2.5 weeks or so are really good for inner working and communicate. And really, with all that Pisces energy, it's like it's dreams, envisioning, manifesting, tapping into your creative side, figuring out what you... So you got like 2.5 weeks here still to really tap in to your inner inner imagination and envisioning what you want to manifest. The energy is really strong for me right now.
So do you think this book that I'm looking at is going to manifest an Apple computer?
I'd have to see his chart. I don't know.
he taped an Apple to his laptop. Is that manifestation?
It could be.
That's funny, though. That's the picture of the day, man.
So on the 19th of February, which is interesting because the sun goes into Pisces that day and Mars goes from Pisces into Aries. So it's kind of a dual shift there on that day. But the Pisces energy is great for envisioning and manifesting. And
cool.
So kind of, it's not the greatest energy in the history of mankind right now for actually pushing things outward, unless that Pisces energy is really prevalent in your chart and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great for cover, you know, working things and getting things smoothed out so that when the stuff starts going into Aries and whatnot, you'll have your things in line. Because one of the benefits of astrology is you can see how it's like, oh, I feel really creative right now, or I feel really blah right now, or whatever. You can kind of see time periods as to how long these cycles will last, and so that kind of lets you like, okay, well, I'm supposed to be resting right now, or I'm mm-hmm. supposed to be busting my hump right now.
Now
and
sh-
so then you kind of, you know when, because a lot of times then the energy, the mm-hmm. creative energy, the move forward energy hits you,
okay.
and if you don't have everything prepared at that time, then instead of using that energy to your benefit, you're scrambling to get stuff done, which mm-hmm. you could have been doing and had ready for the good launching points.
Okay.
Is kind of how that works.
So you're suggesting that you maybe need a good astrologer then?
I would say that never hurts.
All right. Where would people find you online?
You can find me on Facebook. You can email me at mmethenY1984@yahoo.com. Those are probably the best, but you can get me through with Insights also. My website is a shambles right now, and I'm...
Shambles.com?
Yeah, shambles. www.
Shambles.com.
Unreadablecluster.com. No, so I've had some website issues. I haven't bothered to fix them because I got a new logo done, and mm-hmm. I'm changing my name, and I'm rebuilding and linking up all my websites, so I haven't really bothered to take the time to fix the last one because I've got a new one that's coming out shortly.
Okay.
And I hope to have all those shenanigans ready by the Gift of Light Expo there, March 14th.
Yeah, that's coming up pretty quick. Because
mm-hmm.
February goes pretty fast.
It does.
Because it's already... Is it a leap year this year or not? I don't know. I'm not sure if
we got till the 28th.
I know the 28th is there for sure.
Right, so it is.
It's a leap year. It's what, every 4 years or something like that?
Right, every 4 years. Because a year is supposed to be 364 and a fourth days is
yeah.
how long it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a 365-day
yeah.
calendar, so that's where every fourth year we have to make up that extra day because those four, one-fourths add up and you got to have the... So this is not a leap year. There's only 28 days in
okay,
February.
Okay, that's cool.
This year.
That's cool. That
so
won't screw
so
up my
February will go quick.
Won't screw up my face selfie. Things so
right.
365.
Right.
364 and a quarter.
Right.
I have to adjust all that, you know.
Right. So it's not uncommon that people don't sleep well the night or two before the full moon.
Oh, okay.
So I was up late on Sunday night, so I kind of crashed out last night, but I slept
pretty good.
Hardly left the house yesterday. I just worked on stuff all day yesterday, so I think I kind of mentally wore myself out. So since the full moon is, so here's, so I'm just
babble, man.
So let me, I'm going to dispel a couple, an astrological or maybe just information that people aren't really aware of. So the energy, if you're looking to do a full, I've probably mentioned this before, if you're looking to do a full moon ritual or looking to capture that energy for the full moon and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
you want to go, because people always I think one of the misconceptions is that the full moon energy is out there as long as the moon is really full, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cutoff point to the minute where the energy drops off.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I know the full moon is at 6:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight.
Okay.
So at 6:10, the energy is way less than it was at 6:04. And so if you play that out to, you know, the day after and the day before. So if you're planning something for the full, let's say if you were going to do a full moon ritual or something.
There's a full moon drumming at All Life Center tonight that I was thinking about going.
Right. Right. So it's it's usually best the day before than
mm-hmm.
like the day after. For if you're wanting that
okay.
intense ruckus energy. Because there is a sudden a full moon, I think people think there's a misconception out there that like the full moon is the same as like a planetary station where you feel that energy for a week on the other.
Oh, okay.
That is not correct.
So it's the build up.
The build up has massive amounts more of energy than afterwards. Because the full moon right after the full moon, I mean it's kind of like the energy. Not that you'll necessarily be like immediately drained 30 seconds afterwards, but there is a sudden decrease. All that intense, you know, because when we drum for
mm-hmm.
our drum circle, like if it's on when the full moon is the next morning or something, I mean we're you have to kick us out. I mean we're there till 1:30
yeah.
or whatnot,
yeah.
and it's just real.
Real intense.
But right after you get to the full moon, there is a sudden drop. There is a quick drop off in energy immediately afterwards. And so the other thing too is people think it has to be nighttime for like the full moon, like
mm-hmm.
when they see the full moon is on the 22nd or whatever, they think that that energy is good up all through that evening. Well, it's not, because the moon is full when the moon is full.
Mm-hmm.
So they're an exact NASA does all these calculations and figure out, and that's where all the little astrologers get the exact. I mean, because I can tell you exact times when Neptune is conjunct Mars and the moon is void, of course. I can tell you to the minute. That's how scientific that part is, because NASA, NASA has billions of dollars at their disposal to,
right,
and they can figure all this stuff out. And that's the data that astrologers use. We just apply the philosophical, mystical part of it to the actual scientific, nerdy math calculations of.
Now I know something.
So, like, sometimes the full moon is at 4:30 in the morning. Sometimes it's 9 a.m. in the morning. Sometimes it's 1 p.m. in the afternoon. It's not always. You don't always. If the full moon is on the 22nd, you don't necessarily get that intense energy all the way through till midnight that night, or until the next morning, or whatever. There is an exact cutoff.
That's cool.
And so, one of the things that, because it's full at the same time all the way around. You know, the full moon is at 6:05 here, whatever time it is in Australia. That's when it is.
Okay, so it's according to is it an Eastern time standard, or is it? When is it? I mean, exactly.
It's at 6:05 Eastern.
Okay, so
standard
that clock
here.
Okay, I see what you're
but
saying.
It'll the moon will be full at 3:05.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
In California,
right.
And 4:05 in Montana,
to,
and
right.
5:05 in Chicago.
Perfect.
So same. It's the same. You could call your friend in New Zealand, and the exact full moon would be, if it was hitting exactly.
Right.
Here, then it would be hitting exactly just at the time. It would be
except
a different
it would
time.
Be it would be just maybe night and be daytime.
Oh right,
you know,
right. But I mean,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
The same. There will be a different time, but
mm-hmm.
the same moment in linear time.
Okay.
So you kind of have
your lunatics.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's people were probably dragging their buttocks today, because there's probably a lot of people didn't sleep well last night, and a lot of people have been telling me they've been having intense dreams and stuff.
Maybe
so,
that's
but then
why.
You,
yeah,
there's
hit.
A phenomenon I call the full moon hangover, where if the full moon is like late in the evening or late at night, they sleep crap because they're all wired up, their emotions are all tense. And then to go into work, they're just like, you know, do you have those days where every man I couldn't sleep?
That's like this, on my way here, this Mini Cooper almost slammed into the front of me. I mean, they came like a couple of feet before he or she, I don't know what it was, decided to swerve into their own lane, coming left to center. And then there was another car that did the same thing. I'm like, okay, what's rough with these folks? Maybe they didn't sleep last night. You know, and they were in people in nice cars. And then there was this big old Honda SUV that was creeping in front of me. I mean, the speed limit's 35, and they're going 25. I mean, and there's nobody on the street. Over there on Kenny Road. And I'm like,
you're just a big magnet, Katie.
I'm in my car saying my prayers for these folks that's saying, protect me, Lord, from these people that don't know how to drive. So, but
right. It's very likely there's a lot of people that slept like crap last night because that full moon energy is still.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not so bad when it's full at, you know, in the middle of the afternoon or early evening or something, because then people, you kind of crash out.
Tonight
people should sleep a lot better than they did last night,
because
it gives you a couple hours to kind of, you know, you wind down and you have that energy drop off and then kind of wind down and then.
Well, my thing was, if you hit me, then I get paid.
Katie, it's funny. It's your new car.
So, especially a person, if you can afford a Mini Cooper, I mean, those are little pricey cars. So,
yeah, they are. Pricey little cars.
Pricey little cars. So.
And then if you, you win a car, and you're happy, and you celebrate. Anyhow.
Anywho.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that, Mark. Because that makes a lot of sense now, kind of how I was feeling. Because I was feeling like real energetic. I felt real energetic last night. Like, I went and played soccer and stuff. I felt good. You know, it was good. Hung out with the guys. And then I got home, and I don't remember going to bed. I just woke up in the morning, you know, after I dreamt, you know. It was just that way. It was just like, psh.
I said I was kind of energetic. I had insomnia. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to bed at 11 o'clock. And then I'm laying there wide awake, so I watched Jimmy Fallon, and then I started getting sleepy after Jimmy Fallon. So,
well, let's take a little quick break, and we'll come right back. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
Guys, well, we hope you're enjoying the show tonight. We're kind of talking a little bit about the full moon and the energies and stuff. So I want to invite people who want to go drumming tonight to the All Life Center. It's at 5 p.m., which makes it a little odd because of just people's work schedules, those who are getting off work or those going to work. I'm never sure why they do it at 5 or They try to do it on the full moons, whenever it falls on the full moon schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But have to adjust. You guys might have to adjust a little bit so people can get there, you know.
And the highway's going out to the center.
Yeah.
That's 5, you know. Well, if it's at 5. But the 315 and then 23 heading out to that direction tends to be a little congested.
But I think they're trying to do what Mark's saying. They want to catch that energy at that peak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I can bottle it up and send it your way if you want. You know? But even though, I'm glad they're doing those kind of things for those of you who don't know what the All Life Center is. They're out in, I think they're out in near Delaware.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
I forget the name of this. There's a little town they're part of. Lewis Center? Lewis Center, that's it.
Yeah.
Lewis Center. They're actually in Lewis Center versus.
I worked up there for 10 years.
They're a co-op, and they do a lot of, collaboration work with other healers. I'm part of that organization there. I'm a co-op in there. I don't use this facility very much, but when I do like for drumming or whatever I do outside usually. So I want to give them a shout out because they do good work and, Melinda Cooksey and, Clarissa's up there. So
Yeah,
real nice.
Yeah, really nice people.
So if you can
really
go up there
nice
and check
place.
It out, check it out.
Yeah, they have a lot of healers and therapies that they
mm-hmm.
do, and what do they do? Acupuncture and massage therapy.
Yeah, they do that.
And some other.
Kirtan. They do kirtan as well sometimes,
mm-hmm.
from time to time, and they'll do like performing arts types work too.
Yeah.
They had some little girl who was playing piano there or something. She had a recital. So
and they have
do.
Nice open houses with food and,
mm-hmm.
and wine and coffee. Mm-hmm. And they take donations on a regular basis, so you can go. Some of their projects that they do are on a donation basis, so you just come and give whatever you feel led to give or can give. So, and it's nice, nice.
Well, I'm going to take us into our next topic. Dun, dun, dun. Good thing Mark reminded me. You know, money is energy. We've talked about this before. And so the association of paper, this fictitious, not fictitious, but I mean, this paper that we've created, this cotton and linen, and we associate energy behind it, and we say this is what's going to be the standard. This is what we're going to use to pay our bills and pay debts, whatever. So towards the tail end of the show, I saw a post on Facebook that someone it said, "Would you sleep in a coffin for $10,000?" And I found that really interesting. You know, what would you do?
$10,000.
Well, just for money in general. I mean, how far would you go? How far would you take? You know, your spirit, your soul. You know, to exchange one energy for another energy. You know, is $10,000 enough to sleep in a coffin? Let alone they were going to bury you and then bring it back in the morning. You know, would you do it?
Because
I'm looking at you.
This is going to sound.
I'd do
sound
it.
Creepy, probably.
Right.
But, I'm all right with. Now I do have. I am kind of claustrophobic. But I would maybe be more comfortable in a coffin than most people. That just sounds.
I'd do it because I've done it before, but not for $10,000 just playing around. Because I come from a family that were morticians at
mm-hmm.
one time, so we used to play around in the coffins all the time.
I mean, there'd be air holes and stuff in it, right? I mean,
well, I'm assuming if it's in the ground, you don't want air holes. You want air pumped in somehow.
Yeah.
But if you're outside of it, maybe yeah.
Right.
I mean, but you know, just the fact that what do you do for money? What would you do? I mean, this is $10,000. But think about this, okay? Some people work for $10,000 a year, okay,
mm-hmm.
or close, maybe a little bit more, every day in a job that is a coffin, that is
yeah,
a situation
kinda.
That puts you in the same kind of mindset. So we trade time for dollars because they can only pay us according to what they're going to make in profits and stuff. So you're never going to get paid what you're truly worth
mm-hmm.
at any job. You may think you're making $50,000 a year. If you're making $50,000 a year, they're making more. Okay, so the higher the salary, the more profit and more money they're bringing in. So you always
True.
Have to think like that. So you're always trading. They're only going to pay what they can. So when you go to a fast food restaurant, you work. I mean, these are different types of situations. So, you know, you're selling your energy for another form of energy, and it's an exchange. For some people are good, okay with it, because, you know, they're like, okay, I can live with that. But there are other people who struggle with that. God, I only make $7 an hour, and you treat me like crap, you know, la la la, you know. So the exchange has to be, you know, there's that's a problem. That could be an issue.
It can be, because I did something I didn't want to do. I did an acting job. When I lived in New York, I was between jobs, and I needed some money. And some friend told me about taking phone calls for a certain amount of money. You get paid so much an hour, and if you can keep people on the phone, you can and just talk to them or listen to them or whatever, you can you make more money. You know, you get bonuses. So you made so much an hour, then you made a lot of bonus money. And I did well at a particular job, taking these calls, phone acting, in order to make some money until I can find another situation came about. So, and it paid well. So I didn't like doing it, but it was money.
Sure. But it's money. But was it money? But when you think about it, I mean, once you have that money in your hand, you feel good for a little bit. You know, you paid some bills. But then you have to do it again. So it's like a little cycle you get stuck in. You get these cycles really stuck in really quick, really fast.
You do, especially when that money is good that's coming in. And then you got repeat customers coming, people that are asking for you on the phone when they call in.
Right.
And it's just like, after a while, you got to say, I got to get myself out of this.
Okay,
especially if it's something you don't really care to do.
Well, what about Buddhist monks and priests and stuff that don't really necessarily take a salary per se? Some of them do. Some of them, you know, declare, you know, a vow of poverty, and they don't take anything. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're kind of there. We're kind of taking a vow of poverty in a sense, you know. We're not really making the money we used to make.
No. Nope.
But.
Nope.
But. Do you find that your spirit is different? Do you find that you're happier? Or do you find that
I'm happier.
You struggle a little bit with it?
Yeah.
You struggle a little bit financially, just like what we're doing right now. It's just like you struggle a bit financially, but overall you're a bit happier because you don't have someone breathing down your neck or micromanaging you or telling you got to up production or you're not doing a good job as when you first came in, or giving you what's called occurrences, or writing up reports, or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
I answer to God, and I have people that I'm kind of accountable to, which is just like Iggy and my other friends and ministers and stuff that's around me. I've got a guru and a pastor and a couple other spiritual leaders that I'm associated with that let me know when I'm, you know, when I need to improve or mess up or cross a line or something like that, which I push the envelope a lot.
Right. What about you, Mark?
Oh, way happier. Way happier. And I don't...
As you roll out your eyes.
Yeah, the money thing's becoming an issue. I'm going to have to sort some things out. But, yeah, it's way... I mean, you just see how maybe... I'm choosing words very carefully here. You don't have to deal with people's... I'm just going to babble. You don't have to deal with people's... Some of this will probably come out wrong, so apologies up front. You don't have to deal with people's egos.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially that's not... I never had problems with working or... I mean, in fact, since I was... For the last 30 years, I've had 1 to 3 jobs or more for the last, you know, until this past summer. You know, I've worked 1 to 3 jobs my entire adult life since I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, yeah, I mean, so it's not, I mean, you, when you're constantly curtailing to someone else's whims, then at a point, you know, you feel like you're selling your soul off and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to, I know a lot of our friends have day jobs and stuff like that. I totally understand, and that's, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I may have to go back to that at some point, or at least
mm-hmm.
part-time. As I get other things, enough other income streams, but just at a, I just had gotten to the point where the universe kept telling me that, I kind of knew I was not really, I mean, I'm a good team player, and I work well with other people and
mm-hmm.
stuff, but in general, my ultimate day is I'm not really supposed to be a follower, and I could see that in my astrological chart, and then I got some very clear wake-up calls and messages the last couple years that, I like work. If I won $10 million tomorrow, I would still work on things. I would still
mm-hmm.
have, I'm those people ever that can sit and, you know, just sit on a beach and drink cocktails the rest of my life. I would never.
Me either.
The first month maybe I would, but.
But
I don't think I could stay there too long either.
I need to stay busy.
I'd take my office to the beach.
I do too. I like doing research and searching
yeah.
out mysteries, and I've got too many things that I've wanted to. So even when I quit my day job at the beginning of July last year, I mean, it's like, I don't want to say that. I mean, I get the opportunity now to, I can relax when I want to, or if I'm tired, I can take a little nap if I need to or whatnot.
Yeah.
But in general, I mean, I am working on something, you know, 12 to 14 hours a day or longer sometimes right now.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
I have so many big projects and things I am trying to do. So I don't, that's just how I'm wired. I like doing, and sometimes it's nice to just maybe sit on the couch and not do, you know, watch a movie or something and not, but in general, I'm just not wired that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, I like doing things, and that's also one of, just as not being a follower is kind of one of my things in this lifetime, so is, you know, exploring mysteries and learning to be out front. God, I just feel like none of this is coming out across good. To be more of a leader than a follower.
Right.
And I've known this for a while, but I always just kind of it was just always easier to follow along and just kind of shirk what was my,
mm-hmm.
what I was supposed to be doing. But now it's become evident. And that was probably another reason I got out of corporate America, was to, you know, continue to push myself in that area. Because it's like, you know what, there's nobody you can fall back on now. There's,
mm-hmm.
it's, you've got it. It's time for you to stand up and go do what you're supposed to do. No more of this.
Yeah.
Yes, boss, no boss stuff. That kind of, I mean, again,
yeah.
I have really liked most of my bosses I have had throughout my work career, and a lot of them are still friends to this day, even though I don't work for them anymore. But in general, I'm just better off
yeah.
I'm
not really reporting to anybody.
I'm one of those people, I get along with usually the upper people and all that. I never truly get along with whoever they have as my immediate supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I try.
Yep.
I don't know what
scenario.
It is. I could get along with their boss, the persons above them.
Mm-hmm.
I meet presidents, vice presidents, owners of operations and corporations, and get along fine with them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always that immediate supervisor that, for some reason, maybe it's because I'm that friendly person that does get along with those upper management
mm-hmm.
people, to where that person that's right over me is usually someone that tries to make my life hell, even though I'm doing my job and being friendly and outgoing, and I get my stuff done and my production would be good, but there's always something that irks that immediate supervisor to where they try to ruin, to where usually I end up saying F it and quitting the job because I can't deal with that immediate person that's above me. So there's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, you know, we all work so hard to get, you know, degrees and stuff. I mean, I have a degree in restaurant hotel management. Most people don't know that, but it was one of my goals in my life.
I've got one in business.
I wanted to do that, you know, because if I'm going to be in the business, I might as well learn the things that, you know, it takes to run a business. Because there's always something to learn about anything. And so later down the line, you know, you're in it, you leave it for a while, and you try something else. And, you know, the more I was self-employed, I started to realize that I had no boss but myself. But I also started realizing I had many bosses. Mm-hmm. I'm going, and people are going, many bosses. Well, you know, every customer you have is your boss.
Right.
Especially when you're your own boss, per se.
Mm-hmm.
You're accountable to all those people. Every time you have a new client, every time you have a new store, they will be the ones to dictate if they call you back or you pay you at all. And so that's how I had to look at people. Okay, each person is a client, but also my boss at the same time, to some degree. I mean, they don't tell me what to do, per se, but we work together. We work in an environment of coaching, you know, environment of collaboration. So that's kind of been the shift for me for many years. I had to work on that because I always had that cocky attitude. Oh, it's my business, blah, blah, blah. You know, but when you can be in business and I have no customers. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
True.
You know?
True.
So that's one thing that a lot of young people have to learn. You know, you just can't. Sometimes you have to go and take those tough clients because they're the ones that mold you and they'll test you and they'll bring things out of you that you, you know, sometimes clients that are kind of passive and very nice to you. And they just say yes to everything sometimes. Won't give you, but you have to give those clients. And, you know, and I've had those clients, those tough clients, and it's tough. It's tough on your soul a little bit sometimes. You have to hear things that, how they're perceiving it, not how you are, but how they're perceiving the experience. You see what I'm saying? There's a huge difference.
Right.
That's true.
We're human, so we have feelings, and our feelings get hurt.
Just like my family had a mortuary business, a funeral business. And my grandfather built it up from the time he graduated. He was 20-something with a partner and built up that business over years and years. But my dad never really liked business. He did it because my grandfather wanted him to get into it. And my grandfather started getting old and couldn't be there at the business. My dad just pretty much, he wasn't a good customer service person. He didn't keep in contact with the clients. And some of these people, like, once they're in, you know, use your service, they're generational. So you have to keep in touch with the times and the seasons and outreach to your customers and clients. And those people that come back, you got to advertise because you see the advertisements on TV. And my dad, and keep up your cars. And my dad just never did that. He just slowly let the business wane, and wasn't a good customer service person.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of, you know, alienated his employees and everything, and everybody would blow up and get angry at stuff when it wouldn't go his way or something, to where finally the business just went under. Nobody could stand to be around him or to use the service. They would go to someone else who would, you know, go out of their way for them or to give them good customer service. And no matter what we said as kids, it didn't do any good.
Right.
So you have to, your customers, even if you have your business, you have to give good customer service. You have to listen to your clients.
Yeah, that's, I mean, in business, you have to be on top of it. I mean, my father was kind of that way. He's stuck in his old routines, you know, because that's what worked for him. You know, and it, you know, here's the thing about being your own boss, too. You can tailor it how you want your business to flow, too. So he tailored his business one way. So he would attract a certain type of clientele that liked that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I stepped into the reins of taking his position for a while, my whole clientele base was completely different than his. My friends were my clients. They were my customers and my bosses at the same time. And so we had a different relationship, you know, and his relationship was completely different with his group of people that he piled around with. So here comes the dilemma. Here comes the butting of heads and the and ideas. You know, my dad's very money oriented, motivated. You know, he's very old fashioned. You know, knuckles to the ground. You know, and let's do this. I'm more like delegative type person. I like to delegate authority to other people, so it looks like we're working as a team, you know, and things are working. So one team member gets out of line, you don't notice it because the other ones are picking up the slack a little bit. But, you know, that's just kind of how I was. I wasn't really one of those guys who could sit behind the bar and drink like he could. I just can't. I've tried it, and it's just not my personality. It's just not my cup of tea, and I just...
Right.
I just can't. You know, I can't hold a conversation if I wanted to. But, you know, but he was good at that. That's how he did it. That's how he just... That's his culture. That's how they do it, in, you know, in some places in where we're from. You know, when you hang out, you drink, you know, and you get your case of beer, and everybody drinks it the whole night. That's just how the culture was where I come from. But I couldn't do that. But I do miss the restaurant business. I do miss the aspects of, you know, like friends showing up and coming and people saying the food is delicious, you know. And the few challenges sometimes where people would give you, oh, I didn't like this. And then you have to kind of ask them why. Or,
right.
But, and then they'll give you their opinion. And a lot of it's just because they've never had the food that way, prepared that way, with seasoning and spice and everything nice. A lot of people just get bland stuff, man, and they think
American
it's
food. Regular American fare is bland, you know, and then you add something else, a cultural type aspect to it, and then you get your spices and stuff. So, because I found I like the Peruvian food, I like Indian food, I like Chinese food, authentic Chinese food. If you ever go to authentic. I know you go to an authentic restaurant, Panda Inn.
Yeah,
they
have to
authentic
order.
Dishes. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's much more spicy, much more concophony of flavors.
I like that word. Say it again.
Of flavors in regular old American food is just seasoned with salt, pepper, maybe a little cayenne every now and then. But, you know. We use salt and pepper, and that's it. And I think that's the old English way of seasoning. And other, you know, things use cumin and rosemary and cardamom and several different types of chilies and turmeric. And there's so many spices out there.
Oh, yeah.
That plain old American food doesn't have. Some people are just satisfied with hamburgers and french fries or pizza. Pizza has oregano and basil, but, you know,
and a lot of those spices are really good for your body, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're good for your immune system, and they're good for your liver and stuff.
And
so a lot of people don't realize, you know.
People from other countries don't have the diseases
and
so
pungent,
much as we
pungent
have.
Stuff's really good for you. It's good for your system.
The sweet and the sour and the you know, like kimchi and
that's Mark's favorite.
Mark's
favorite kimchi.
Kind of hot, sour. Kimchi could be hot, sour, and sweet at the same time. It matters what type of kimchi you have.
Sounds like a Korean girl. I'm kimchi. How are you? Every time I suggest lunch somewhere, and I go, let's go to Panda Inn. Let's go to that Japanese restaurant. Mark's going, his bowels are just going, bro. No.
He's a bland food man.
I am very finicky, but actually I'm so simple. Okay, so
yes, you are a cat.
But I'm so simple to cook for that people can't handle it.
Grilled cheese and tomato soup.
I'm not big on tomato soup, but yeah, just anything that I eat is. I just want the. I mean, okay, so I went to my girlfriend's house last weekend, and I gave her mom and dad a little astrology lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Because her mom had come to one of my classes and was lost. So I kind of gave them a little in-home. So I said, hey, just, you know, feed me or what. Made tacos and stuff. And it's like, there's a running joke. Because everybody knows I one of my most hated things on the earth is onions. Especially red onions. I don't want to put anything in my mouth that if I touch it, I can't get the smell off my hands for 3 months. I mean, if I have to wash my hands 72 times with 19 kinds of soap and still can't get the smell off my hands. I'm probably not going to put it in my mouth. I know this could go on a bad... Yeah, to me, kimchi is bland, vile, and I think that people only eat it on a dare. I worked with a Korean girl, and she brought in... she would bring in, like, authentic, like, Korean stuff sometimes, and she brought in... She goes, oh, this is a treat that we have over there. And it's, I know, this is going to be a kimchi rant, I know. There's probably medications for people like me, but I'm not going to take those either.
Yeah, it's called...
So... Oh God! They know how to pull my chain. They know how to poke me. So
this was a whole setup.
She brought in these snacks. They were Korean snacks, and they were in like a candy wrapper type, kind of like a Slim Jim type wrapper, mm-hmm. or beef jerky, okay. Because it was like long and thin. She's like, yeah, this is dried kimchi. This is what we and I. Oh my God! I thought I was going to hurl. I thought I was going to throw up right in the office. This was the most bland, bitter thing I'd ever put in my mouth that I, and it's like, she's like, yeah, it's fermented cabbage. And it's like, well, I don't really think cabbage tastes good. I mean, stuffed cabbages are fine, yeah. When you got the meat and stuff,
sure,
and
sure.
You can just take the outer shell off and whatnot. And I know I sound like a complete raving lunatic. There's probably a reason for that. That's why I tried, and she's like, yeah, well, what they do for, like, authentic kimchi, it's cabbage, and they take it, and they wrap it in these, like, leaves, these big plant leaves,
mm-hmm.
and they wrap it, and then they bury it underground. And I'm like, if something tastes so vile that you have to bury it underground in the earth, for a couple months for it to taste better, that should be a clue.
they thought you were a rabbit.
Oh, goodness sakes.
And it's funny, I had kimchi one time at a Korean restaurant because I had ordered these. I didn't know what it was. I said, oh, I'm going to order something out of the blue. So I ordered cellophane noodles, which are clear.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of slimy noodles because they're clear.
I have texture issues.
And then it came with a little side of kimchi, and it was mixed with vegetables and stuff because I like noodles. And I found out, oh, I kind of like these noodles, except they had a little crunch to them. I kind of like the noodles, and then they had a little teeny side of kimchi, and I tried it, and I'm like, wow, I like this stuff. You know, a little bit goes a long way,
mm-hmm.
but I liked it, and from then on, I liked kimchi, and matter of fact, I got some cellophane noodles up in my cabinet that I need to cook.
Yeah, I can slap down that kimchi, though. Like, the other day we went to eat, I bought one, I ate that whole thing in 2 days.
It tastes good. It's one of those things where you can take a pinch of it and eat it, just like...
Mark, you want some? He's like,
you know, pickled or candied ginger is like that. You just
mm-hmm.
eat a little bit at a time, and it's good for your stomach and digestion. And you just eat a little bit at a little bit goes a long way, but it's good.
A little bit goes too far. So,
it's good stuff, and you know it's good for your digestion. A little fermented goes down there, and it helps to digest other stuff, just like yogurt. It's
yeah,
fermented
that's kind
milk,
of what,
and
that's
it goes
idea.
Down and
mm-hmm.
helps with your digestive system.
Right.
It's got
it's
good bacteria in it.
Yeah,
probiotic.
You
yeah.
take some kimchi and you go. Does that dance in there.
So I went to my girlfriend's house this weekend, and like she was like telling her mom, she's like, oh my God, just don't put any onions.
Oh, I know
you're
I know, onions,
in with the
yeah,
meat.
Onions.
And so it's like sometimes like I have to it's like I'm very easy to cook for. I just need a couple. I'm very good with, I don't need 19 different things, and I'm very plain. People have a hard time grasping how easy I am to cook for, because like you don't have to do hardly anything for me. It's just like
just some plain white rice.
Here's your bread and butter, Mark.
I put a couple spice. Yeah, right. I mean, I love rice with just, you know, a little bit of vegetables or some spices or whatnot, and just some chicken or what. You know, I don't need. Once everything gets too fancy, because like there's
that's like the farmers, like you know, remember in the like in the old, back in the 1600s, the farmers would eat things that were like vegetables, and they wouldn't eat flour, and they wouldn't eat the fancy stuff because that's the stuff they would sell at the market.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they would actually have a better system, you know, and their bodies they would eat the greens and the things.
Right.
And so yeah, I can kind of see that.
Right. Yeah. So I'm just very. I was going to sound like a raving lunatic, but you know why should today be any different, right? Right. So I mean, one of my problems I have. There are certain things that I don't like with certain other. I guess this is just going to be about food. I'm just a complete maniac at this point. But like, I hate that. Like, if you go to a fast food restaurant, that like. You automatically get tartar sauce on your fish sandwich without asking for it. Mm-hmm. You have to ask for it not to be on there. They just assume. I hate tartar sauce. I don't like relish. Mm-hmm. I don't like pickles.
I don't like pickles.
To me, pickles are a... People are probably dying right now. Pickles are... pickles is murder of a perfectly good cucumber. I love cucumbers.
It's kimchi.
Maybe I just don't like fermented things.
It's kimchi.
In general.
It's the pickly... taste sometimes. Right. I used to love pickles. I like sweet pickles now, but I don't like dill or real sour pickles anymore.
Because see, you can't take, if you get a sandwich that has pickles on it, you can't just take the
pickles off.
You can't just take the pickles off.
You have to ask.
Because the juice gets all over everything.
And you don't like juice.
It's just
pickles.
Like the smelly onions. Like if something comes with red onions on it, you can't just take those off.
Now I say no pickle, but extra onions.
It's all you smell is the, you know, 7 days later after you've taken the onions off, it's still all you smell.
So you've got a very sensitive nose and mouth connection.
I have Venus and Taurus. I'm fairly smell oriented.
But, you know, foods are also very euphoric too, though. We know what's not euphoric for you guys. chocolate, for example.
Loon.
Chocolate, you know, like
I love chocolate.
Chocolate is just like a sensual thing, and it's so, and it just runs the endorphins through your body and just kicks them in the gear, and then just makes you really lovey-dovey. You know?
It's like they have chocolate now that I got chocolate with chili peppers, which is kind of good. It's good. I'm like, they mix chocolate in some unheard of stuff now. The only thing I haven't had is... I don't think nobody's done this chocolate with garlic or anything. That would be kind of weird.
Chocolate soup.
What?
You some chocolate
soup? God, why did we get...
There probably is chocolate soup.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I haven't had it.
Just like mole, chicken mole.
Yeah, there's
a
chicken mole. Yeah, mole, yeah.
It's a savory way of making chocolate.
And I used to make chicken mole, remember, at the restaurant? Nice baked chicken mole. Nice crisp in there.
I might get it to market, get some mole sauce. There's that kind that comes in the jar that's not bad to use and have your chicken simmer in it.
So since I've outed myself as a complete raving lunatic,
yeah, you said
maniacal, wascally wabbit, I'll just, another thing is like, I don't want everything on my plate mixed. I want my stuff on my plate separate.
Like a sectioned, sectioned off.
Yes,
like
I don't want
plate.
Because I know some people just like, goes to the same place. I want my stuff separate. I don't want green bean juice
touching.
All over my chicken or whatever. I just I want them separated because I am crazy and these are my demands.
Okay.
And I will usually eat, not always, but. Depending on what it is, sometimes I'll eat like one thing at a time. It's like, I'm a total slob in some areas, but in some areas I'm like
You're
ridiculous, like
anal,
obsessive compulsive, right?
That's understandable. That's, you know, the way you are. Sometimes I don't like certain things mixed, but if I have rice and vegetables, I don't mind if they're mixed or or I don't like my sweet and my savory stuff to mix together so much, because then you'll have like green bean flavored cheesecake or something. Like if you have a smorgasbord, I'm like, let me get a separate plate for my sweets and then a separate plate for my salad and then a separate plate for my other stuff. But if it's stuff that's compatible, like some rice and meat,
right,
then those things can touch.
And that's okay, yeah. Exactly.
But,
exactly.
Know, things that have separate distinct flavors that you want to keep the flavors separate.
Right.
Then yeah.
Yeah, because there's certain, like, I don't like lemon in my iced tea, because lemonade is fine, but like if you ever get like the canned iced tea that has lemon, you can't tell that it's iced tea. It just tastes like lemon.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some things that are so strong that they just kill the taste of whatever it's with, pickles, onions, lemon, that I don't want to, that I just have no interest in it and engaging. Tartar sauce too. Relish will smell over. That's why I don't like tartar sauce. It just overwhelms the taste of the fish.
I'll make tuna salad. I only use just a barely teeny bit of relish just to get the sweet, crunchy pickle taste.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll put a lot of celery in it. So
that's why they call it lunchtime wisdom, right?
See, for me, it's tuna fish, mayonnaise, toast.
Okay.
Game over. Done.
You don't like that?
No, that's all that I put. I don't like
all the other stuff in it.
Right, all the other 37 ingredients you can have. Yeah, because I have weird like texture issues and weird. There are certain, some things can be hot or cold. Some things I want them to be hot. Like I don't want, like here's one I don't. I know. I should be restrained at this point.
I hope you don't starve when you come to my house.
probably. But one thing that, you know, I can't stand egg on salad. My mind cannot even.
A hard-boiled egg, you mean?
Yeah, I don't want egg on my salad.
Okay.
I don't want it. I don't understand it. How did that even come about?
Probably putting some protein in.
I want my eggs hot. Also, I don't want cold chicken on a salad. Hot chicken on a. If you get a chicken salad, I want my chicken heated up. I don't want cold chicken on a salad. Because to me, that's just like kind of asking for salmonella or something. I don't know. I have certain. I cook the crap out of my meat too.
Like a little moo juice.
I don't want
burger.
Blood. I don't. To me, when I see a bloody plate, I'm not like, oh yeah, I just want to tear into that. I'm not a bloody plate person.
You're definitely a rabbit, man.
Yeah.
I just certain things just don't go together with me. There's certain, and I don't even understand how they started.
Yeah, kind of like Walmart and supplements.
Yeah.
Right.
At Walmart, I guess they got...
So now that I've officially uninvited anyone in our audience from ever asking me to dinner.
Or just have just plain fare.
Yes. Yes, see? I'm easy. I'm so simple that people can't comprehend how simple I am.
Mac and cheese. Do you like macaroni and cheese?
I love macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
I love macaroni. One of my favorite, like, low-dollar things that I would make with, like, thinking macaroni and cheese, I put, like, some tuna or hamburger in it. Love it.
I'm reading here that...
that I'm a lunatic.
Check out those supplements that you're taking, folks. The New York Attorney General said that the tests on popular store brands and herbal supplements at Walmart, Walgreens, Target, and GNC found that roughly 4 out of 5 of the products contain none of the herbs listed on the label.
Wow, I order mine from Puritan's Pride, so I hope theirs is good.
Know where your source is and who makes it.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of fillers in those things, and I'm sure the FDA is probably going to step in and start regulating supplemental companies that make this stuff. Because I believe that some of the, for so much supplement you put in it, you can put filler in as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to fill in the
gelatin
space.
And fiber. And
the fiber part.
One of those things people are using a lot as filler is that soy lecithin is in almost everything. Pick up a box, capsule, anything. You have the soy lecithin, and it's really the garbage of the soy being what is in that.
Because when you take supplements, they should affect. According to, if you're research, they're supposed to do certain things to help your body. If you're expecting results, then there's something's not right. That's a good indicator right there.
And then a lot of these things are like $10 or more a bottle, so you're just throwing away good money down the drain. But my grandparents ordered from Puritan's Pride. I'm not really plugging Puritan's Pride, but I know my grandparents ordered from them. My mom ordered from them. So it's a long history, reputable company, and their products do and work well with my system.
And you know, even you know, we're talking about lunchtime wisdom here. It's our responsibility as a show to do our research and find out. So I've been doing a little research. You know, GNC, for example, I mean, this is a fairly well-known company. And they have an Herbal Plus brand that they sell. And, you know, they did tests on it and found there was no Ginkgo biola found in it after it was labeled.
In their Ginkgo biola?
Yeah, and their St. John's wort. There was no St. John's wort found in it, you know. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and that's a long history, long reputable company there.
I mean...
This stuff is
Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you put yourself in a situation like that? Make billions of dollars.
Right. Why wouldn't you at least put a little bit of it in there? So you could at least argue
yeah.
that. Yeah.
But you're such... I'm going to call them stupid, okay? Right. I'm just going to call them stupid because that's stupid, you know?
Okay. Vitamin Shop's not on there because somewhere another place I get my stuff from.
I mean...
I like Vitamin Shop.
Target, you know, another big name company. I mean, these guys, their reputation's on the line. What are you guys thinking?
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys thinking? That we're so stupid that we're just going to buy somewhere that we're just like these little lamb chops that just walk around and don't give a damn?
Some people, they just pick stuff off the shelf and they keep going.
I'm
going
to tell you guys out there in shopping world, Walgreens, Walmart, all you guys need to get your act together if you want our business. Okay? Because
mm-hmm.
you know what? We can't trust you if you're going to sell stuff to us like that, you know? You're just selling us junk. You're just selling us the grass that's growing in our yard. We can eat that by ourselves, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then some of us, like in our community, have their own supplements and stuff that they get stuff from. But it is pricey because it's real stuff. So.
Well, you know, there was a time where I felt that the FDA was probably a bunch of losers. I still
mm-hmm.
do. You know, because they get sold out. So there's a war here going on that we're not seeing. There's something behind here. There's something going on. I mean, they want regulation. They want to regulate it. I get that
mm-hmm.
because they make money. But this should never happen.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. We're in America. Darn it. Okay?
Yeah.
We're not a third world country. Our people are not third world. And neither are the people who live in third world countries a third world. They're only third world because of economics. Economically, as the superpower of the world, as we claim to be, this stuff should never happen. I'm sorry.
It should never
you know,
happen.
This, you know, and I'm ranting and raving like a lunatic here, too. But it's true. You know, I get disgusted when I read stuff like this. You know, it's one thing we get GMO'd out of the wazoo, and we're fighting for regulation on that to label that. Well, you know what? Here's a good example right here. Why we demand labeling. Why we demand what's in that product. Because we're trusting and we're putting ingesting that into our bodies in order to get something benefit out of it. And they're just selling us crap. Granted, I've never bought any of their products, but there are people who do.
Yeah, I've never bought supplements from those stores.
There are people who trust Walmart. There are people who trust Walgreens. These are big name companies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, they wouldn't do that to us. Well, hello, there you go. The Attorney General
it's
of New York.
It's all about the dollar. Almighty dollar.
I mean that's one of the easiest phrases to make me laugh. There is they would never do that to us, or they would never do that to their own people. Anytime anybody utters that set, I just like crack up laughing. It's like
they shouldn't do that to us.
Pick up a history book.
No, I'm with you, and I totally get it. But I'm making a statement that you know.
Oh,
what,
oh right, right.
You
right.
know that.
And that is what the. General public, but regardless of the topic, they would and have done that to you.
Well, they have been doing it to us.
Right.
Okay, so if Walmart's doing it, who's to say that little companies aren't doing it? Or
mm-hmm.
if this guy's doing it? Because I can say, you know what? I've worked with people, and I've try to associate with certain groups of people to do certain things. And, you know, sometimes I don't get involved with them because of the ethical things, you know. Well, let's just do this or that, you know. We'll cut
right.
this. Well, you know, I'm not about cutting this or that, you know. If you know, sell me a steak, all right, and don't throw in a ground beef grinder with other things and call it, you know, steak chuck or chuck steak, whatever, you know. It's because it's not chuck steak after you add chicken and pork and crap to it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. This is ground meat.
There's just no ethic. There's just no, I don't know what the word I want to use. There's just no loyalty anymore. There's just no standard anymore. It's just like, it's all about that stupid George Washington's face on this piece of cotton and linen, you know.
Right.
It's more important to them so they can have their freaking boat, you know. And I'm just really sad because, and that's why I always encourage people to grow stuff in their garden, you know. Be your best, be your own advocate, you know. And I'm really going to, you know, from today on, man, I my life's changing. Because after this, I see this, and I had a lot of faith in certain things, but I'm starting to lose faith now. And it's like, my direction's going to change a little bit about really pushing and sharing, you know, permaculture with people and things like that. Because I know that stuff. You know that stuff. We've
mm-hmm.
learned that things. And you know what? You know, I in the future, my kids are going to have kids. You know what? What's going to be for them, you know?
So I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but I'll try and do the short Cliff Notes version of it. But that the FDA, or the Fraudulent Drug Administration, I call it,
yeah.
is nothing more than a private power-wielding conglomerate. Actually, it's a very small group of people. When I see the phrase FDA approved on something, it does not change my opinion one iota either way for it. That it means absolutely nothing. The FDA, and they admit, if you look into how the FDA approves things, they test, I mean, it's a very small group of people, they test a tiny minutia of this stuff that goes out on the market. In fact, one can safely assume that if you go to the store and something says FDA approved, you can safely assume that 95% of the time, no one from the FDA has even looked at that product, and you would be correct.
Mm-hmm.
So they randomly test a few things here and there, and if you want to up the insanity level, they actually admit that they allow a lot of the companies to do their own testing
mm-hmm.
and report their own findings. So what if we applied that to other things? So let's take a guy that's on trial for murder. Did you kill this person? Nope. Okay, you're free. Go ahead. You know, I mean, what kind of insanity is it that – and if you look, again, just like with everything else – if you want to know who's behind 9/11, if you want to know who's in charge of the FDA and all this other stuff, just follow the money. It's very simple. You just follow the money trail.
The money.
Yep.
Follow the money trail. That will lead you to the right answer most of the times as to who's behind stuff.
If you can get there.
These companies just, they buy out members of the FDA board, or case of aspartame aspartame, bought the entire FDA board. And so that's how they, because I mean, you've all seen where there's been product recalls from drug companies, and it's like FERC has had, you know, hundreds of product recalls, or Consanto, or, you know, Tizer. Any of these other gigantic companies have had hundreds and hundreds of products recalled. And at some point, the same rational person goes, well, how do they get anything onto the market? Once you've been, wouldn't you be, because I've worked in international shipping for
mm-hmm.
20 years, so I know that when customs, and again, customs can't check everything going across
mm-hmm.
in or out of the country either, but they do random checks. Once they find a company who's had some paperwork issues or some mistakes or something, then that company gets red flagged and they check their stuff equal. So, you know, more than they would the regular
mm-hmm.
company who's not had any issues. So wouldn't you think that the FDA, maybe once a company's had several violations, that they would check their stuff more? Nope. Every year,
yeah.
Pfizer gets...
They just give you a fine.
Right, right.
And then you know what? They made so much money that the fine is nothing. It's just to support their agenda.
The FDA is bought and sold.
And then the FDA standards are low, too, you know, if you think about it.
Or something like that.
FDA standards are low, too. You know, their version of what herbal is completely different than what...
Right.
You know, like, for example, here's an example, okay? When they did tests on all these pills that were from these stores, what they found in it, instead of the things that they were supposed to be in it, the agency found that the pills contained powdered rice, beans, peas, and wild carrots. Okay. I guess that would be good for you, but that's not what I was buying it for, you know?
Right. You was buying, because ginkgo biloba is supposed to help with just mind sharpness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to buy something to keep your mind sharp, you know, keep from turning into cauliflower.
Yeah. And what happened, I got bloated, I got gas, shit in my pants, and I had good eyesight.
Right. So when I'm looking at products, if it says FDA approved, and if I saw another product that said this product was okayed by a crackhead in a back alley, those two recommendations would hold the same exact weight for me.
Yeah, and it's only 51% a vote too on the FDA board as well. So 51% says yes. The other 49, sorry. That's democracy at work, right?
Yeah,
the Republic.
Government programs, projects, and offices not working in the favor of the people.
And, you know, and the sad part is this. There's so much information out there. You don't know who's right. You know?
And that's why we have our group of people here. I know you can't always... Sometimes you have to go buy a tire for your car, and you've got to have the tire for your car. You know, you can't always.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, if I want supplements or something, I have a group of my friends. I'm like, hey, what do you guys take? What company have you found that it's? I mean, I try to go for somebody smarter than myself or who's done more research than me that I trust, and that's how I base a lot of my purchases and decisions on.
No ethics. And, you know, it's just bait and switch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they bait you in and they switch the product to something else.
Yeah.
Buyers beware.
Just like weed, there's products that, I don't know, Iggy used to endorse or say, like Native American sacraments and all that. But there are some companies out there that do have some really good reputable products, and then they tend to be, you know, a little more pricey because they are real products. So just like you go to Walmart, you pick up a bottle of vitamin D for maybe $5, but you may order from another company and that same milligram of vitamin D is twice as much, like $10 or something, but it's because of the... What are you buying? Are you buying real vitamin D, or are you just buying some white chalk powder?
Right.
Compressed into pill form, you know, so who knows exactly, unless you got the lab in order to test it for yourself.
Right.
You know, to find out exactly what you're buying. You try to trust the company you're buying from.
Right. So in general, I mean, it's better to pay $10 for something good than paying $5 for
crap,
for nothing, for essentially nothing.
Mm-hmm. And basically a lot of stuff at Walmart, they have cheap and cheap and cheap, and they're starting to say everything in there has, you would go in there after a while and everything was from another country. Now they're trying to start to get more made in the USA products. But people have found out that a lot of stuff from the other countries are crap. You know, just like the dog stuff, they mother.
Right.
And then you
find out
it's a bunch of ground up other dogs or, you know, stuff that dogs shouldn't be eating. And these dogs are getting sick and going crazy, like the mad cow thing. And
I mean, it's funny you said that. My dog got sick because I used to buy her, like, you know, not really expensive, not real cheap. It's kind of in the middle. And then sometimes you would buy, like, cheap because you were
right
tight budget, you know, poor dog. But, and she got sick, You know, there was a lot of, there was a rash of things where the skin was like irritating the dog, and it was allergies is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then we couldn't figure out what was going on, you know, and we just started to do a little research, and I started looking online, and the next thing you know, it turns out that there was a recall on certain foods, dog foods, even the big name dog foods,
mm-hmm.
and there was just causing really severe allergies on animals and pets and causing their skin to fall off on some dogs, some breeds. And so we just took it off, and we just ended up giving her, like, more expensive food, you know, more like a lamb or whatever, something that's more. And she's doing a lot better now.
Yeah, no, she hasn't had any rash.
Yeah, she's doing, we just took her off the cheap stuff, and we're just like, the cat too, you know, just in case.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I guess it's just like us, if we eat crap, you know, it's going to affect us. They eat crap, it's going to affect them too, so we just think that dogs can assimilate things, but, you know.
Right, because, I mean, essentially, when we look at how much we spend on food for ourselves, a few extra dollars
mm-hmm.
to feed our
loved
animals is...
It's like, we go out to lunch and stuff, and I eat well, and it's not a lot of calories and stuff, but at home, if I eat at home, I eat well, too, but not as well. I'll get some vegetables or some rice or something. But then if I decide, and I've been keeping a track of my calories...
Mm-hmm.
And I notice the days where I just say, oh, you know, I'm not a fast food person, but every about once a week I'll do fast food. It's like I'm still hungry sometime after the fast food, and then it's so high in calorie that I'm like, why the heck did I waste a bunch of my calories on this stuff? And it doesn't really make me full or anything. So it's just like, okay. I don't know about the, you know, I try not, that's why I try not to do fast food, because it's high fat, high calorie, and then you're hungry again in the next few minutes, you know, next hour or two, because it's like you just ate sawdust.
Mm-hmm.
There's no nutritional value hardly in it.
Right. Right, and too, and something that I've noticed, too, as I've tried to improve my eating habits over the last year or so, is like, you know, it is. Sometimes it's more expensive to buy good stuff, but you know what? You do really have to eat less. When you buy good stuff, you do have to eat less.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of...
Do you eat less because of why?
Well, because it's better grade, better quality food,
okay.
And you're still... You're getting the, you know, nutrients and protein and stuff that you need from...
The proper nutrition.
If you get good stuff, it tells you, know, your body tells you that it's not as hungry, because you could eat a huge meal of fat, you know, fast food or something low quality, and it's like that's why you're hungry again. Later, if you stuff yourself, it's like your body didn't get any of the basic things that it needs out of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just like I've noticed,
it really
chips.
Is quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
I got corn chips from Lucky's, and it's good, wholesome corn chips.
From Stucky's, you mean?
Lucky's.
It's about, you know, $3 a bag, or, you know, somewhere where it was a little more pricey, but it was good, whole grain, non-GMO corn chips. And I notice I eat less of those than if I would have bought a bag of Fritos from Big Bird.
Right.
Grocery store.
Right.
So, because from the bigger grocery store, it's just like something's in it to where you just want to keep, you know, and your body doesn't feel full when you're eating it. But then from the better grocery store where the food is wholesome, it's just like your body, you eat a few chips, and then your body is like satisfied. So, you know, it's, you can tell when you had good, your body says when it's with the good nutritional stuff, your body will say, oh, I've had enough. This is good for me now. And with the other stuff, your body says, oh, I want to shove it in my face till the whole bag is gone. And then you're still not satisfied. So it's better to go ahead and spend a little extra money at the better grocery, you know, the wholesome grocery store than it is to go to a bigger, big box grocery store and get less price,
mm-hmm.
no nutritional value stuff. So, That's my spiel.
Spiel. Spill it.
Yeah, so I'm trying to buy more from, and then I've gone maybe about 85% vegetarian. So when I do get meat, I'm trying to get it from a better place, like Stuckey's, the wholesome grocery store where they have maybe grass-fed or free-range type, antibiotic-type meats then. If I were to go to big box stores where they have the nitrogen, fake food coloring, mm-hmm. and different things added to their meats in order to make a lower price. So, that comes from the slaughter, big, mm-hmm. non-caring slaughterhouses. So, you get what you pay for, pretty much.
Yeah, that's true. You're absolutely right. You reinvest in it. It's an investment in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't see it that way. A lot of people think we come from this. Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword too. You know, I think sometimes these companies that make good products do know that that we're gonna buy it because of that. So I don't know if they're doing it intentionally or it's just because the cost is higher. I don't know. I've never done any research on that, so I can't really say yes or no to that. So it's kind of like, okay, we buy things that are cheaper because we think we need to keep more money in our pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But I do guarantee you this, in the long run, if you don't take care of your body now, you're going to have to take care of it later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, how are you going to take care of it? Are you going to be popping pills, or are you going to try to eat food? Are you going to try to take care of it? There are just some things that are going to break down on us that we just can't, or that's just evident, we just can't do anything about it because of our poor, judgments in the past. And our body pays that consequence for later in life. But there's a lot you can do now to repair a lot of those things as well. So I'm really a big advocate for people to, go out there and look and do the homework yourself. Find the resources that you will be able to guide you into the right direction. A lot of us want things handed to us, or we just kind of by chance hear something or whatever. But, you're the only one who can really take care of yourself.
True.
And then it even gets even crazier if you don't have a lot of family. What happens to you after? You hit, you're in your 60s, 70s, and you're an only child, you have no mom and dad. And, there's some really serious issues. What happens to you?
You get an exec someone to take care of your final.
But what happens to you when you get sick? What happens to you when you're in those situations when it gets mm-hmm. really, really hairy? I think about those things. I have a family, I have friends. But everything ends. Everything has its day where it just, in this existence, happens.
Unless you do what they did years ago, like the village, they send the old person knew that they was getting ready to go sometimes, so they would go out and into the woods to find a place to mm-hmm. sit and
Aborigines
pass away.
Of Australia do that. Native Americans do that. Aborigine man or woman would know it was their time to die. There was somehow they just knew how to turn off that thing in their head and their body and just pass away in the woods. That's why they would always say in the if you remember we read Banjo Clark, the book,
mm-hmm.
they talked about the ancestors never leaving because they never saw them die unless it was a tragedy or something, but they never really saw anybody die. They just walked into the jungle and the woods or the desert and that was it. Never saw them.
Hmm. Yep.
Just knew they were there. Any closing thoughts, Mark?
No red onions.
No red onions.
Extra red onions for me.
Extra red onions for me. I'll take half of those. Well, I want to thank everybody.
Yeah, you'll be able to visit me in my padded cell here in a few months, I'm sure, after...
We hope you're enjoying the shows that we're broadcasting here. We're going to have more shows coming on as we go. Tomorrow, I believe. We don't have anything tomorrow, do we?
Nope, nothing.
Oh, I do have one thought. Now, I'm going to be taking a break because I'm going to be going into a class from mm-hmm. 9 to 3 coming up. So you all may not hear my voice for about a month
mm-hmm.
because I'm going to be in class, unless you decide to... you know, go into our archives. But I will be on the Monday evening show.
Okay. Very good. Maybe tomorrow might be a surprise show. I don't know. Maybe it'll be a rerun. We don't know. But I think we're going to have Throwback Thursdays.
Oh, Throwback Thursdays. Oh, interesting.
We're going to have Throwback Thursday with Inside Shows.
Okay.
And then Wednesdays we'll have Spontaneous Spirits or whatever. Figure out why. We're just rolling right along.
Going to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, just keep it going.
I will have on my show on Friday, I will have a really awesome astrologer from New York City named Matthew Curry. And I will post his info on my Facebook page. So you can check it. He's got a good sense of humor. He's hilarious.
Good, good.
Hilarious. So we'll have some laughs for you, and then I have a special guest on the following Friday, which I think is a Friday the 13th. No, I think that's wrong. Because this Friday is like the... No, wait a minute. That is... The following Friday is indeed...
It's already the 13th next
it
Friday?
It is.
What the heck?
The following Friday is a Friday the 13th, and I will have super awesome guest as well then that I'm hoping to finalize here shortly. I know she's busy with some finishing up some additional education. But
And then the Lion's Lair is coming up, and so is the Gypsy Wagon. And Into the Crystal Ball.
Yep. We have lots of new shows, lots of new hosts.
Once a month shows, yeah, lots of new hosts.
And we'll do an NCAA tournament preview show, me and Iggy will, in March after the tournament drawings, before the tournament starts, so you fill out your brackets.
So, I guess, where are we going for lunch? If you can.
The noodle bowl.
Noodles?
No.
They have macaroni and cheese there.
Oh, that's...
I'm kidding.
I
care.
How about Bob's?
I don't care.
I'm fine with Bob's.
Bob's?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we will be at the Bob Evans.
On
Tuttle.
So if you want to join Lunchtime Wisdom cast and host there and pick our brains about things, come and join us. With that, we'll dance our way out of here. We'll see you guys next week.
Ciao. We'll be right back.